Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Will Duffy, America's second most popular self-proclaimed right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. And I'm back, with pro-life superhero, Joe Scott.
Hi, Will.
Hey, Joe, how you doing today?
I'm doing well.
All right, I'm glad to be back one more day. And I talked to my board operator, and yesterday we had so many pro aborts calling, it jammed the phone lines.
Oh, I believe that.
That's why we didn't have anyone call. Okay, not really. No pro aborts called. We issued the challenge. There was no response. The emails will continue to come. The drive-by attacks will continue to come, but they will not step up to the plate.
Or the mic.
But we did issue another challenge yesterday, which was to encourage the audience to get involved in the pro-life movement, to finally take a stand, get out there and do something for the Holocaust that's going on in America, and we did have someone step up to the plate.
I was shocked. This guy called from 100 miles away. He said, what can I do? I'm 100 miles away. I want to help. I've been called. I know that I need to be doing something. And then what happened?
That's right. Jim called, and he said, hey, I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like, I know I've been supposed to do this and be in the pro-life movement for the last 2 years, and I'm ready. I'm taking the challenge. He's 100 miles away, but he said, I still want to be there. I want to be there for the protests. He wants to help us make signs, and he's ready to go.
In fact, after talking to him, we figured out that he'll really fit in well with the ministry, with what he does and all that kind of stuff. We can help him, and he can help us.
It's exciting, and I want to say thank you to Jim, if you're listening. Thank you, Jim, for calling and doing the right thing, and I'm real excited to work with you.
Yeah, Jim, it was a big encouragement to us. Big.
Hey, today, Joe, I want to talk about presidential candidates.
Oh.
I'm sure I'm going to make a lot of people unhappy, but that's okay. That's what we do best here at Bob Inyar Live. Presidential candidates. Hey, Joe, I want a presidential candidate that is willing to protect the innocent people in America. Is that a pretty good idea of who we should look for in a presidential candidate?
Yeah. Protect innocent? Yeah.
So let's look at our Republican candidates, because we know the Democrats are unwilling to protect innocent life in their borders under their authority. Let's look at the Republican presidential candidates, and let's see how many are willing to protect the innocent in the country.
All right, let's start
with... Who's our first candidate?
Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani. He's not willing to protect the innocent. Who's next?
Duncan Hunter.
Duncan Hunter is also unwilling to protect the innocent.
Why?
He is and believes that abortion and moral issues are states' rights issues.
Oh, that was a buzzer for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what about Ron Paul?
Ron Paul, what a great... nope. Ron Paul is unwilling to use his authority as president to protect the innocent people in this country. Disqualified.
Now the states' rights guys?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Great. I don't understand how they can make murder a state's right.
Hey, me neither.
Mitt Romney.
He doesn't apply. I don't even know where Mitt Romney stands. He changes his mind so often.
I've seen that. I've looked at some of the stuff that he said over the last few months. Depends on what state he's in.
It reminds me a lot of John Kerry. I think they called him Flipper.
Flipper.
But, yeah, Romney's changed his mind so many times, I think it's safe to call him a liar.
Yeah?
He's a liar.
I agree. He is a liar. What about Fred Thompson?
Nope. Fred Thompson is also unwilling to protect the innocent in this country with his authority as president. He is another states' rights issue, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Well, that's sad, Will. All right, McCain.
Ooh, John McCain?
Yeah, the war hero.
Oh, the hero. The war hero. John McCain is also unwilling to use authority as president to protect the innocent in this country.
he won't protect the babies. He's not a hero for the babies.
Nope, not a hero for the babies.
It's depressing. So who is?
Well, that's a great question. And I think we have three that have openly said that they are willing to protect the innocent. And those three are my personal favorite, Alan Keyes.
Mine too.
AlanKeyes.com, K-E-Y-E-S. We've got a local guy, Tom Tancredo.
Hey, man, he's great.
And we have Mike Huckabee.
He's not so great, but he won't turn it back to the States. That's what he says. It's a recent thing that he said. But my thought on that is when you say you don't want to turn the issue of abortion back to the States, that doesn't help your campaign.
No, it doesn't. He's willing to at least do right on that issue. And again, the abortion issue is a disqualifying issue when it comes to presidential candidates. It's a disqualifying issue.
He's not great on a lot of other things. I like Alan Keyes. I like Tom Tancredo.
Both of
them are great.
I'm excited. Now, what's this states' rights issue we're talking about? Here's what it is. We have Republican presidential candidates telling us that Roe v. Wade should be overturned and that abortion should be decided by the states.
How do you do that? It's murder.
That's bizarre.
It's murder. So
that's inane.
If they made it legal to kill all one segment of, say, all short people, anyone 5 feet and under, and the government agreed and they made it a law. So tomorrow we turn it over to the states?
It's ridiculous. There's only one reason.
So
there's only one reason to be against abortion. And that reason is if you think it's the murder of an innocent human being. That's the only reason to be against abortion. So I am looking for a presidential candidate that is willing to protect the innocent people of the country from murder. If a presidential candidate is not willing to protect the innocent in our country, he's not worthy of support.
No, he's not. He's not worthy of leading anyone. Anyone, not a governor, not senator, not state rep.
That's right. And these candidates that think abortion should be a states' rights issue are unwilling to protect those innocent children from slaughter. They're unwilling.
It's like Pontius Pilate. Okay, it's not my job anymore. I'm washing my hands. Give it to the states.
That's right. And there is no washing of hands.
No.
So let's talk a little bit about Keyes, Tancredo, and Huckabee. I'm real excited about something I read from Alan Keyes. And I want to read that to you guys here. This is amazing. And this, again, just reestablishes how strong Alan Keyes is. He is a God-fearer.
And he's wise. He's strong and he's wise.
We need a God-fearing president. And many of you know that there are movements across the country for a human life amendment to return personhood to the unborn. And when I read this article yesterday, I was shocked that Alan Keyes says a human life amendment is unnecessary. I was shocked. So let me read here what he says. Keyes tells WorldNet Daily that his first priority if elected president would be to make sure the executive branch of government recognizes the Constitution requires a respect for human life. Here's a quote. My first priority would be to reestablish within the executive branch respect for and protection of the unalienable rights of the unborn children in the womb, he said. That's
cool.
Huge.
It is huge. And he's right. They do have rights already. He's right about that.
That's right. Now, how many candidates are willing to come out and say that their first priority when they become president has to do with abortion?
I think there's one.
There's one Republican candidate that's willing to do that. Every Democrat candidate is willing to do that. Isn't that interesting? Every Democratic candidate is willing to say that one of their first priorities has to do with abortion. And again, therefore, keeping abortion legal. Now, why is it that the other side, the Democratic side, is more dedicated to killing kids than our side is to saving them? They're not afraid to say that they have litmus tests for judges. They're not afraid to say that they will never appoint a judge who's willing to overturn Roe v. Wade. They're not afraid to say that their first priority is going to keep abortion legal. Yet our side won't do that. Alan Keyes will.
Well, Tom Tancredo said he'd use a litmus test.
That's right.
And they'd better overturn Roe versus Wade. That's what he said he would use.
That's right. And I'm a fan of Tom Tancredo.
Yeah.
He's so far so good. On to this article again. There has been significant debate in the Republican presidential primary about a human life amendment, as some candidates have said they support it, but others note the votes are not present in Congress to move the idea forward. Keyes says he backs a human life amendment, but explained that it's unnecessary. Here's a quote. It is already clear in the Constitution that the ultimate aim of our government is to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Our posterity, including, of course, the elemental part of posterity that lies in the womb, is placed by the Constitution on an equal level with ourselves in terms of the claims to liberty. So the question is answered right there in the Constitution, and we simply need to respect that answer, Keyes said.
Amen, Alan.
Go, Alan Keyes.
Yeah.
AlanKeyes.com. Now, that's powerful.
That is.
I was shocked to hear something so profound. I was shocked to hear such a pro-life Republican candidate say that a human life amendment is unnecessary, but his answer was even better. The unborn's God-given right to life is already protected under the Constitution.
That's right. It shouldn't be a shocking thing. It should be a matter of fact. People know it in the United States, but it's been buried by the media and the liberals and Christians not standing up and proclaiming the truth and making sure that people know it.
This is a very important election, as we all know, and I am more excited than I ever have been to have a God-fearing, pro-life Republican candidate that we can vote for, that we can support. This is not talking about a third party here. This is not talking about dividing the votes. This is about a Christian, God-fearing man who's willing to protect the innocent in the country running for president.
Well, we've got to get him elected in the primary. And people are going to be worried, well, Alan Keyes isn't going to be able to make it. He doesn't have a big enough name. People don't like him enough. He's not as popular as Hitlery? But Hitlery, Cutlery, how do you say her name? That's foolishness. We are a big enough voting bloc that we can determine who is the presidential candidate in this country.
That's right. And we have no business supporting a candidate that's willing to kill some kids. We have no business. We don't have the obligation to support someone that's willing to kill kids. In fact, we're not supposed to do that.
Sin.
We need to obey God in everything that we do, even if that means losing a presidential election. We are not to support anyone that's willing to kill some kids.
That's right.
Now, is George W. Bush willing to kill some kids?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, he is.
And he's willing to fund the child killers. And he's willing to sit back and let everybody regulate child killing as long as he doesn't have to deal with it.
That's right. So we had no business supporting, the church has no business supporting George W. Bush, how we did. But that election proved one thing, that we have a say. The church has a say. The church needs to take a stand and say, until you give us a God-fearing candidate to run for president, we will not vote for you.
Right, and all it's going to take is one election. One election where they don't get one of their God-killing candidates in because the Christians won't vote. Next election, they'll be listening.
They'll
be listening hard and long.
That's the best thing we could do, is to only vote for someone who fears God. And if we do that, if we stand strong, that is who we'll get as our candidate.
You know,
eventually.
You know who's going to be really angry? The Republican Party. You know who's going to be really happy? God.
That's right. And I don't know about you, Joe, but I am really sick and tired of being used by the Republican Party.
Ugh.
I'm tired of it.
I haven't voted Republican in years.
That's right. And I'm ready to vote Republican this year if we can get Alan Keyes the nomination.
Yeah.
AlanKeyes.com. Hey, I'm going to give out the phone number. Even though I know no one's going to use it, we're asking anybody who's pro-choice to call in. 1-800-8-NYART. 1-800-836-9278. We're issuing this challenge. What's pro-choice anyway? That is so bizarre. That's the worst name you could ever have. What is it, pro-choice to cut your toenails?
It's no choice.
It's pro-choice to kill your child. If choice is now defined in society as killing your innocent little child, then I'm anti-choice, and I'm not afraid to say that. Let's go to the phones. We're going to go to a Steve in Firestone, Colorado. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. It's Steve Curtis. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
Steve.
was listening. You know, it's interesting. I'm listening. I'm reading my emails. I get Gary Bauer's email every afternoon, mm-hmm. and it's interesting. At the same time, when you're talking about, you know, why Republicans won't stand up for life with the same veracity that the Democrats will, you know, stand up for their pro-abortion position. I'm reading this, and in the context of what he's talking about here, the reaction to Mitt Romney's speech yesterday. But Gary Bauer says this. He says, "I'm looking forward to supporting the ultimate nominee, whomever that is, against Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama." Okay. Therein lies the problem. It doesn't matter if it's Giuliani. It doesn't matter if it's Mitt Romney. It doesn't matter if it's Fred Thompson, who was a pro-abortion attorney and lobbyist. He says he looks forward to supporting that ultimate nominee. And that's why the Democrats have a stronger pro-abortion position than the Republicans are willing to take on the pro-life, because guys like Gary Bauer that have been set up as figureheads of the Christian conservative pro-life, pro-family movement are allowed to say things like this without any recourse whatsoever. And so, Giuliani knows that if he's the ultimate nominee, Bauer's going to be out there just like Pat Robertson or anybody else making the case that, well, you know, it's better than Hillary or better than Barack. And by the millions, Christian conservatives will go to the polls, they'll pull the lever for this person that believes exactly opposite of what they say they believe. But this is the problem. There's no accountability when it comes to statements like this. And of course, I'm going to fire him off an email here pretty quick, but, you know,
right.
So what?
Thanks.
You know, he's going to shrug that one off, too. So, but can you imagine a prominent Democrat standing up and saying, I will not support a pro-choice nominee of our party? You would just never see that.
No, you would never have it. But you know what? There's no leadership. Steve.
No, there isn't. Well, no, there's this big, big vacuum that's just been developed over the years because, you know, everybody's under the impression that we have leadership and that leadership is standing up for the right things, you know, for the life of the unborn child, for the pro-family values that we all talk about. Unfortunately, the leadership has sold out long ago. I don't know. I mean, it's been at least over a decade. I know when I was involved in Republican Party politics 10 years ago, from the inside, I just absolutely got sick of it. When I stepped down as the state chairman, I had to take about a 6-month, scalding hot shower just to feel clean again, because from the inside, very quickly you understand that this is not a pro-life party that you're part of. It's a party that talks a certain way to build constituencies, and it's really no different than the Democrats. If the Democrats had taken the pro-life side years ago, there's no doubt in my mind the Republicans would have taken the pro-abortion side, because everybody's trying to build a constituency. It's a jobs program, and people need to start looking at politics as exactly that. The ideology doesn't mean anything to these people. It's a jobs program, because most of them really can't function in the world that they've helped to create by the laws that they pass. So,
that's a good point.
Anyway,
but there is leadership on the horizon. I think it's called AmericanRightToLife.org.
It's AmericanRightToLife.org. Well, I like what Bob Enyart's been saying recently. You know, we understand that American Right to Life is not big enough to elect anybody, but probably is big enough to start collecting scalps.
And, amen.
Oh yeah.
And you know, one thing you understand about politicians is that they only understand two things, and that's pleasure and pain. And when we're not letting them know that pain is always an option, and all they feel is just the pleasure of serving and making the contacts and going to the parties and getting treated the way that they get treated, they very quickly leave the reservation. And so we need to always be willing. You know, even if somebody as wonderful as Alan Keyes by some miracle were to be elected president, we would always have to be ready and vigilant to lower the boom on him should he stray. Now, of course, we don't believe that would ever happen, but anybody needs to understand that, because men left to their own devices don't very often stick to principle. There's just too much temptation in the world. So.
Hey, Steve, anyhow. Great call. Thank you so much. Hey, Steve's right, and this whole idea with Gary Bauer, I'm ready to support the nomination, whoever it is, that's the absolute wrong attitude to have. And that's the reason we're not making any progress. It's not, I'm going to support whoever it is, it's, I'm going to get off my butt right now and do something to get a nominee that I'm willing to vote for.
Well, they're just bowing down at the feet of the Republican Party. They're keeping their seat at the table. No matter who gets in, we don't want to lose our position. We don't care. If they set a table that only is fit for swine, we're not going to it.
That's right. Hey, I want to talk about something neat here, Joe. We picked up a supplement today called Trapped. And
yeah.
on the front cover, you've got this lady, and she's trapped. And you open it up, and it says Trapped by Another's Choice. And it's a pro-life publication put out by Human Life Alliance, which is humanlife.org. And I want to read something. Joe and I read something in here today, and we were shocked. And here's what it says. On the first page, it says, didn't the partial birth abortion ban outlaw late-term abortions? Answer, no. In the 2007 decision, Gonzalez v. Carhart, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003 was upheld. The ban merely regulates one specific method used in late-term abortions, DNX. Other late-term abortion methods, such as dilation and evacuation, DNE, and a modified version of partial birth abortion, may still legally be used to kill a child up to the moment of birth. Now,
wow.
That was shocking reading that, because that's so true.
Right.
And then I go to the next page, and there's a news flash. And let me read this news flash. In the 2007 decision, Gonzalez v. Carhart, the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003 was upheld. The partial birth abortion ban did not limit the frequency of late-term abortions. The ban, quote-unquote, merely regulated one method used in late-term abortions. It is still legal for a doctor to kill a child up until the time he or she is born using a modified version. The baby can be delivered up to the navel and then killed.
When I read that, Will, I was shocked. I wanted to find out who these people are and how they know that. And I wanted to call them, talk to them. I couldn't believe it. These are people that think like we think.
Yeah, my jaw dropped. It was so true. And I thought to myself, where have I heard that before? Oh, yeah, Bob and You're Alive. And Bob and You're Alive is the only place I have heard that in this entire country, in the entire pro-life movement. And so I was thinking to myself, are these people on the ball, or did we somehow influence them? And you called, and what did you find out?
I found out that they've watched Focus on the Strategy, 40 Years in the Wilderness, found out that they have been watching the Colorado Right to Life website. I've found out that they have been watching 100% of what we're doing, and they are on board with us. They're against child killing regulating. They want to come alongside us and work with us. It was really a neat phone call. I kept saying, how did you know this? And I was talking to a receptionist, and she said, well, let me give you to someone who can tell you. And he picked up the phone. He goes, I just want you to know that we love you guys. I was shocked.
Now, that is encouraging. We pick up this supplement handed out to help women change their mind before killing their child. And we find out that we've influenced them, this ministry, Bob Enyart Live, has influenced them.
Right.
And they see the light. They see the truth, the reality. And the list of leaders that condemn the partial birth abortion ban is huge.
And the influence began in Kansas City when we were there the day we were kicked out of National Right to Life. We met the people there that had connections with this periodical, and that's how it happened. The day National Right to Life kicked us out, we met a woman that has influence in this magazine, and that's how it happened. So thank you, National Right to Life.
That is neat, and I'd encourage you guys to check out AmericanRightToLife.org. Check that site out. Look at the list of leaders condemning the PBA ban. And, Joe, this list is so big that you're almost a minority now if you're not on the list.
That's right. It's getting longer and longer.
It's incredible. And American Right to Life, I'm excited about. In case you don't know, in case you're out of the loop, American Right to Life is a response to National Right to Life, and it's going to be a national pro-life organization that is unwilling to support any piece of legislation, any candidate that is willing to kill even one innocent child.
Yep, we're without exception and without apology. We are going to stand for those babies and stand until we win everything, win the whole ball of wax for them.
That's right. I see American Right to Life ending abortion in this country, and I'm excited.
So am I.
Now, real quick, Joe, someone in the audience might hear that we're without exception, and they might freak out a little bit and say, well, what about that one exception, the life of the mother? What about that? Do you expect a woman to die for her kid? What is our response to that?
Well, first of all, in this day and age, there are so few cases where there would ever be an incident that would require a woman to die for her child. But it does come up occasionally. But when that woman goes to the hospital, the doctor has two patients, not one. We have technology to keep them both alive now. Maybe years and years ago, there are very few instances where the baby will die. There is ectopic pregnancy, and we can't save that baby yet, but soon we'll be able to.
That's right. Now, it's an easy response. You don't stop to kill a baby to save the mother. If the mother's life is at risk, you remove a living baby, and you do everything medically possible to save it. You don't stop to kill it.
No, that's right. And there's never a reason like partial birth abortion. They're always saying, oh, well, it's for the life of the mother. If a woman is really in that much trouble, to put her through the trauma of a breech birth is going to traumatize her even more. It's not safe. The only thing, the only person that a partial birth abortion is safe for is the doctor, because they don't break the baby's bones and they don't have to worry about puncturing the uterus. We have another thing we wanted to talk about today. Didn't we want to say a little bit about Bella?
Yeah, real quick. If you haven't seen Bella, you need to get out and see it. And real quick, we're running out of time. Bella the movie is a pro-life movie. And the main actor didn't know much about women who were faced with crisis pregnancy, so he decided to visit an abortion facility one day. And outside, he met a Hispanic couple considering an abortion, and he was able to speak with them in their native Spanish for about 45 minutes. He offered them hope, help, encouragement, and even his phone number. And he was being interviewed, and he said, several months later, I received a phone call from the man that I met with the pregnant lady in front of the abortion center. He said, hello, Eduardo, this is Javier, and I have great news. My boy was born yesterday. I want to thank you and ask your permission. I would like to name him Eduardo. I just put the phone down. I couldn't even talk. It's the most emotional thing I've ever done in my life. It changed my life. It was beautiful. I went to the hospital to meet them and see the baby. A few weeks later, I was holding little Eduardo in my hands. It was beautiful. Now, Joe, you know from firsthand experience that this is one of the most incredible things that could ever happen to someone.
Yeah, I just found out today that a little baby girl is going to be born December 21st through C-section, and I'm going to be there with the mom. Baby's name is Bennett, so is the mom. You guys could pray for them as they go through this surgery, but the baby's safe.
That's great. Now, hey, if you want to help women and children, if you're a man out there, you need to get to 20th and Vine, and you need to help save babies and help families like Eduardo did. Hey, check out familiesagainstpp.com, kgov.com, and AmericanRightToLife.org.